All right, so Sunday, July the 7th, 2024. My goodness, we're halfway through the year. And we're on 1 Peter Lesson 5, Part 2. And so I thought I was done with Chapter 2. And I started studying this week, and I'm like, nope, we're not done. Got a few more things at the end of it. So let me get to where we need to be, and we'll go from there. But hopefully God is working on your hearts going through 1 Peter. He's been working on mine. And, you know, I think the teacher probably gets more out of it than probably anyone else just going through it. So for that note, you guys would probably be well doing to read through 1 Peter during the week, study it out on your own also, because I'm telling you, there's a lot here. A lot here that I never even thought of. Because if you had asked me, you know, a few months ago, do we suffer as Christians in the United States? My answer would be, not much. But the more I look at it, I'm like, no, we're suffering. We just shrug it off. It's there. And I know some of you know that, but I'm like, I'm just seeing either that or Lord's just bringing it out. Like, no, if you live for Christ, you will be suffering on this earth. And so let me just look at a review real quick and we'll get going. Go ahead and read your bulletin when you have a chance. There are a lot of things in there. I'm not going to read them today for time's sake. So again, the theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through suffering. Chapter 1 is probably the key verse. It's probably verse 7. It talks about the trial of your faith. And it's the trial of our faith that the Lord loves. Because you know what He loves about it? He loves us to see us go through it and learn from it and put our faith in Him and come out the other side more built up, more on fire for Him, more doing what's right. That's what He loves to see in our life. Not so much that we're going through trials and sufferings, but that we get through them and our faith is enhanced. That's what He loves to see about it. And chapter 2 is basically the Christian is to follow Christ in His suffering. And we're going to look at that more today, verses 20 to 21. And so in chapter 2, I tried to make my review short this week. In chapter 2, and verses 1 through 2, it showed us some things to take out of our life. Just a list of things to get rid of. Okay? And in verses 3 through 10, we saw that it reveals that Christ is the chief cornerstone, and we are smaller stones, but we're alive. The Bible actually calls us lively stones. And so, again, we are, we're just small imitations of Christ. And so what Christ did on this earth, we need to imitate. And so Christ suffered, so we're going to suffer. And then we saw in verses 11 through 20 last week, they reveal how to live as pilgrims and strangers on the earth. And I think that's one thing that I've learned a little more all the time is, you know, we get entangled in this life. We let things entangle us. And we shouldn't be, you know, we got to remember, we're just passing through this life. You know, we've got things we're trying to clean out of our house. It's like, how do we get all this stuff? You guys been there?
I'm doing it right now.
Okay. It's like, how do we get all this stuff and why do we let this stuff entangle us in what we have or what we're doing, you know? And it's like, we can't take it with us. You know, all those things we thought were important are not so important anymore. You know, I used to have two or three deer heads on the wall and I just thought they were wonderful. You know, I love to deer hunt. I like to fish. They're all sitting on a shelf in the basement now in the back room.
Is that Carrie's fault?
No, she never was thrilled of them. But, And I just put another one on the shelf. So I'm like, those things are not important anymore to me. You know, and I'm not saying they're not things that we should be doing. I'm just saying they're not as important. I remember the first big deer I shot, and I'm going to mount the head and all that. I got it in the deep freezer, locked up, man. I got locked. That sucker is locked. Okay. And now I'm like, I'm letting people borrow them if they need a deer head to put somewhere. I had a builder came and he asked me, he goes, I've got a den and I got a model home and man, I know you got a deer head. And he goes, can I use your deer head? And I go, yeah, I brought it to him. He called me, he goes, I can't use your deer head on my wall. I go, why not? He goes, it's too big, it won't fit. That's a true story. And I'm like, and I brought him one of the smaller ones. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, I just realized the things I used to think, the older I get, the things I used to think were really important are just not as important anymore. And so we need to realize that we're really pilgrims and strangers on this earth. We can't take anything with us except for, you know, the only thing that we're going to send out of this world. And I'll say this here, and if maybe you haven't heard it before, the only thing that comes out of this world are... is the Word of God, the souls of men, and our rewards. We can send our rewards ahead, but outside of that, that's it. The Word of God, the souls of men, and rewards that we have waiting for us when we get to heaven. That's the only thing that comes out of this life. Okay? So, 1 Peter chapter 2, and I want to wrap up today, verses 21 through 25. And so let's read that. In fact, let's back up. Let me make sure I'm right where I want to be. Yes, I do want to start in verse 20. Verse 20 says, let me get the right chapter. How's that? It says, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is what? Acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So there is a lot there. And it says right off the bat, it says, let me get back to verse 21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called. And so there's some things that I listed on our handout that we are called to being Christians. And these bullet points. Number one, we are called to be saints. Okay? We'll see that in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. So let's go look there and make sure I'm telling you the truth, because you know, I know you guys all kind of wonder about me sometimes, or maybe all the time. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, what's the next word? Uh-huh. Called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So if you're saved today, you are called to be saints. Now what is a saint? It's a saved person. So it kind of makes sense, right? So if you're saved, you are called to be a saint because you're saved, okay? You don't have to be, I know in the Catholic Church, only certain people are saints.
Pope decides that.
They what?
The Pope decides that, doesn't he?
I don't know who they decide is a saint. You know, usually you have to die and be, you know, and they look at your good works to be nominated to be a saint. Well, the Bible tells me that if you're saved, you're already a saint. You're called a saint. Okay? So we are called to that. The next one says we are called into the fellowship of Christ in 1 Corinthians 1:9. I should have kept my hand there. Somebody read that verse when they get there.
God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
All right. So we are called to the fellowship of Christ. And I like the name of our church, Heartland Baptist Fellowship. I like that better than probably a church, even though church means the same thing. But that's what a church is. It's a fellowship. It's a group of people. That's what the church is. Okay? What's that little thing that kids, they used to teach kids, you know, here's the church, here's the steeple. You open it up and there's the people. The people are the church. Okay? And again, you all know that. I'm talking to the choir today. So our next bullet point says we are called into the grace of Christ. Okay? Galatians 1:6. So, I'll have somebody read that when they get there. I'm a little slow today.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Okay, so there's a lot of things the Christian is called unto or to be, or actually called, I wanted to say is, but I mean, we are called unto these things, we are to be these things, okay? We are called to be saints, we are called to the fellowship of Christ, we are called to the grace of Christ, and we are called unto liberty, Galatians 5:13. Because we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have liberty. Okay? We have freedom. Freedom and liberty, same thing we discussed last week. We are also, I think I'll skip the Galatians, some of these verses just to stay on track. It says, we are called to render blessings. You know, you are called to give out blessings to people. There are things that God calls us to do, to be. We are called to glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1:3. We're called to eternal life. And 1 Timothy 6:12. I'm beginning to like these things that we're called to or we're appointed to. Okay? And we are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29-30. And then I want you to turn over to John 13:15. I do want to stop and look at this one. John 13:15. If I'm moving fast for some reason, it seems like I'm off to the races today, and I'm not sure why. I guess because I want to try to get through this. But, you know, we'll be here next week too, Lord willing. So I guess we could finish up then if we don't finish up today. John chapter 13 and verse 15. Of course, this is with Jesus here. And Jesus says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And this is right after he washed their feet. So when he washed his apostles' feet, what was he showing? An example of specifically what?
Serving.
Okay. So basically, with Christ's example, he is showing the Christian, or he's showing his apostles, that they are called to serve. Okay. So he made a big effort with his apostles, specifically that, you know, he wanted them to realize that they were called to serve. Well, that follows right along with us. And then turn back to where we were in 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 20 to 21 says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, for even unto were ye called." So we are not only called to serve Christ, we are called to suffer for Christ. Again, basically the theme of 1 Peter. And sometimes it's for doing well. Yeah, Roger, do you have a comment?
What was the blank at the very top?
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't given you any blanks yet. Number one, we are called to follow Christ.
I thought I missed it.
Yeah, no, I didn't tell you. I had originally had imitate, but I didn't like imitate near as well as follow.
Yeah.
Now, we are called to imitate Christ, but we are really called to follow Christ. So I changed that this morning before I got out the door. I'm like, it was bothering me last night. I'm like, I got to get up and change that.
Too. So if you're just mimicking something, but you're not actually following it, you don't believe it in your heart, you're just mimicking somebody else, then it's not the same.
Right. I was looking for a word that had the same meaning as follow, and I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
I mean, I found a lot that are similar. Imitate, mimic, any of those are close, but they're not follow. Okay? And so, follow goes in your first blank. We are called to be saints. That was your second blank, your first bullet point. And then farther down the list, your blank was we are called to eternal life. So then we are called to serve Christ with John 13:15. I am going fast, aren't I? I'm going to have to slow this down a little bit. Okay. What's that? Okay. And then we are called to suffer for Christ. And sometimes that is for well-doing. You know, it's bad enough to suffer things that you deserve, but when you do what's right and you end up suffering for it, that's hard. That is hard. And there are some things that we suffer for nothing that we've done, and yet there's nothing we can do to fix it because we've done what we can on our part and it's up to the other person. That's just how it goes. Okay. I'll give you, let's see. So I gave you 1 Peter 2:20 to 21. Let's go over to Acts 9:16. So in Acts 9:16, we're going to look at, Saul in the New Testament. And this is, chapter 9 is when he gets saved on the road going somewhere on the road to Damascus. And when you drive to Springfield down, I think it's 65 that runs from Clinton to Springfield. Isn't that 6? No.
13.
It's still 13. I'm sorry. 65 runs south from Sedalia to Springfield. When you run 13 from Clinton south, you'll get almost to Lowry City and you'll see a road that says Damascus. I usually point that out to people in my car and go, "There is the road to Damascus." I always wondered where it was. You know.
To tell you, Mom and I used to always go on drives, and one time we said, "Let's go see what Damascus is." And it takes you down to a very tiny road and winds around, and you come out to the water, and that's all it is.
There's nothing there then. Okay, so it's a road to Damascus. Okay. Okay, well, that's interesting because I've not done that, but I've always thought about it. So I've got to go check that out. But on the road to Damascus, it's one of those things in the highway, like going through Iowa on 35. There's a sign that says Iowa Falls, 8 miles. I'm like, guys, put your seatbelt on. It's just a funny. Okay, and so in Acts 9:16, on this road. And then he's on this road. He gets saved. He goes into Damascus. And then the Lord talks to Ananias, remember? And he says, I want you to go see this guy named Saul. And, of course, he's flipping out because Saul's coming to Damascus to string him up. And he's like, Lord, are you talking to me, number one? And the Lord goes, yes, I'm talking to you. And he's kind of, and the Lord kind of gives him some explanation. And he says, he goes to verse 15. He says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow. And so the man that was causing the suffering for the Christians becomes a Christian, and the Lord goes, I'm going to show him what that suffering's all about. And so we are called to suffer for Christ. Sometimes for well-doing, sometimes for not doing so well, and sometimes just because of the circumstances.
Okay, and this also shows us that Ananias listened to the Lord. He was a believer in what the Lord was telling him, that this guy is going to, you know, he's going to be on my side rather than against you. And Ananias believed that and took Saul in. I mean, it's really something. Think about the fact that, I guess I better do what the Lord says.
Yes. So it's kind of like the Lord telling us, I want you to witness to this guy over here. And you're sitting there thinking, Lord, this is the last guy that I want to witness to because he's rough, tough, and you know, he'll probably spit in my face and pound me in the dirt. And the Lord goes, I want you to go witness to him. That's the ones we need. That's what we need to obey. When the Lord says to do something like Ananias, we need to do it. Even when we think it's the most outlandish thing, we still need to obey him. And I was thinking about this. We are called to suffer for Christ, sometimes for well-doing, things that we have no control of. And I thought about this. What about, think about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Here you have, and I got an outline for you guys that want to teach sometime. Here's an outline for you. Abel served, Cain sinned, and Adam and Eve suffered. Boy, that's an outline. A lot of times we suffer because of our kids. I think it's in the Hunger Games when what's the mean guy? What's the nasty guy in the Hunger Games name? Anybody know? Am I the only guy that watch movies? I guess I am, right? Snow. Okay. Snow tells the girl on the show, Katniss, it's the people that you love the most that cause you the most pain. Mm-hmm. And boy, is that not correct. Mm-hmm. That'll nail you from time to time. Okay. So, we need two things. If you don't get anything out of that whole list, we are called to serve Christ, but we are also called to suffer for Christ. Okay? All right. So, letter A. Christ suffered for us to give us an example to follow. Example goes in your blank, Roger. And thank you for stopping me earlier. Because I was on a roll.
Somebody had to.
Yes. You are the only one that spoke up. Everybody else wanted to. But Roger spoke up.
I was going to wait until the end.
Okay. And so Christ suffered for us to give us an example to follow. Okay, so we got a couple verses. Let's go back to Hebrews. That's the closest. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Okay? So Christ learned obedience to the Father through suffering. Now, that wrap that around your brain for a little bit. God learned obedience through suffering. Because isn't that not who Jesus is? He's not just God's son. He is God. So God himself learned obedience through suffering. That is hard to put your head around. Okay? So turn over to 1 Timothy 1:16. And again, a lot of this was to give us an example. 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Again, we're not going to get away from it. We're not going to get away from the suffering because it's there. It's there. Christ suffered. He is the cornerstone. We are the small stone. He suffered. We're going to suffer. Okay? So, back to where we are in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it says, Christ did no sin. And that's kind of what we're seeing in chapter 2 of 1 Peter that we just read. Christ did no sin. There was no guile or deceit or contention was found in his mouth. And that's a hard thing to do. And if you don't believe me, just go home, get a hammer out, put your finger on the ground and hit it with a hammer and see what comes out of your mouth. It's hard, I'm telling you. Not to say something, okay? So, but no guile or deceit was found in Christ's mouth. When reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, I'm just going down the bullet points, he threatened not. And boy, that's hard too. You know, because when things happen to us, we want to lash right back out. You know? Christ committed his wrongdoings to God the Father. Verse 23 says, "Who when he was reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." When he had a complaint about something, what did he do? He just took it to God the Father. And that's what we should do. When we have a complaint, instead of us lashing out and you know, just take it to the Lord in prayer. Again, not easy to do. Okay? So he committed his wrongdoings to God the Father. That goes in your blank. Three blanks there. He bare our sins on the cross. He took our stripes. He took all the suffering for us. Now think about it. Christ was falsely accused, falsely arrested, humiliated openly, spit on, made fun of, hit, whipped. A crown of thorns was forced down on his head. He endured the shame of a trial. He was falsely sentenced. He was beaten. He was made to carry a heavy cross. His beard was pulled out and eventually crucified unjustly. And yet he did not open his mouth. That's our Savior. And he did it for you and me. Okay, moving along. B says, Christ suffered for us that we should live righteously for him. So righteously goes in the blank. Verse 25 of chapter 2 that we just read today says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Okay, that was the end purpose. Because we were as sheep going astray. Isaiah 53:6. In fact, let's just go there and look at it. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him." Who's the him in that verse? Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Again, all prophecies of Christ. And so, we were a sheep going astray. I was watching a show last night. It was a movie called, what was it called? The Rebel? And they had Alan Ladd and was on this, it was an old movie. And there was a bunch of sheep and he had a sheepdog. Man, that dog was just working the sheep. And he was more of a type shepherd. And I'm like, wow. And those sheep are kind of dumb. I guess they are a dumb animal. But anyway, we were as sheep going astray. We have first. There's some other verses you can look at. The next bullet point says, "Because we have been returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls." Now, who's the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls? Jesus Christ. Okay. And you notice it's capitalized, Shepherd and Bishop. Both of them are capitalized, okay? So I put down here, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. Of course, we saw that in Colossians 1:18, Acts 20:28. And because we now have the opportunity goes in your blank, to live for Him. Okay? So let me just read Romans chapter 12. Christ suffered for us that we should live righteously, and because of that we have an opportunity to live for Him. Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your," what? "Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world," don't get attached, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." So we need to give our life as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. We need to be conformed. We need to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove out the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And then we also should not think of ourselves as being too highly. You know, there are a lot of Christians that have this attitude that they're somebody special because, you know, just who they are. Well, I am somebody special. I really am. But it's only because of Christ that I'm special, and you are too. There's really nothing, you know, super about us, except we're saved. We're born again. We have everything to live for. Okay? So, and because we have an opportunity, we need to live our life for Him. So, Christ gave His life for us, and we should give our life back to Him, and live our life for Him. Christ suffered for us, and we will suffer for Him as well. So we have a discipleship verse that fits that really well, I believe. And that's 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. And so if you know that verse, just pop up and tell me that. Anybody? I know you all know it. Okay, but I won't put you on the spot. Let's go look at it. 2 Timothy 3, 12. Somebody read that when they get there.
Many and all that will live, following in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution.
All right. You didn't realize that it talked about suffering in the Bible as much, did you? Again, it's one of those things you start looking for it, and it starts popping out everywhere. It's there. We are going to suffer persecution, but we should think it. We should be happy to suffer persecution because it tells us we're on the right track, even though it's not pleasant at all. Okay. And you got to remember, we're just passing through. We're like that guy on that movie. I'm just on my way to Australia. You know that support your local sheriff. We're just passing through. We're strangers in the world. The problem is, most of us want to be settlers instead of strangers. So we want to settle in and make life comfortable and do what we want to do. But yet we belong to Christ. He paid for us with His own blood. And I know I'm talking to the choir. Christ, but yet we're strangers in this world. Christ has so much more for us. And so much, and things will be so much better in the world to come for us. So, with all this that I've said today, let's not let this world entangle us and keep us from serving Christ. And we need to remember that we are strangers in this world and not settlers. So we can acquire all the stuff that we get, but yet we're better off to win people to Christ. So when Angela got to lead this young lady, Sri,
S-R-I.
Sri. And what did you say the other waiter's name was?
Sai.
So you got Sai and Sri. Okay, that's funny.
I know. I was looking at my receipt.
And she's a lady too, right?
No. Sai is a guy.
Oh, it's a guy. Oh, okay.
His name is spelled S-H-A-I. So it was on my receipt because I didn't know how to spell her name. And so I thought that, and then I'm like, doesn't sound right. But when I went back in on Tuesday to have lunch, Sai was there. So it made sense.
Okay. So, see, there's something that's going to come out of this world. You just led a lady to Christ. Her life has changed for eternity. That will come out. That's what we need to be doing. And again, I know you all know that, but it's just so exciting when we see people get saved and we realize, hey, they once were lost, but now they're found. And so, you know, everything we do serving at our church here is leading to that point to get people out of here. Vacation Bible School. How many of you are working Vacation Bible School? Okay, several of you are. When we do Bibles, what does that do? People get saved, get out of it. People get edified. People get built up and they go out and do it more. So everything our church does is pointing towards, should be pointing towards getting people saved. And if you go to a church that you're just doing good works and not getting people saved, it's not going to matter. Yeah, it's, you know, there's so many churches, it's just about doing good works and all that. It's like, but you're not accomplishing the goal. The goal is to get lost people reconciled to Christ. And it's important. And we need to focus on it. So again, I know you guys know that, but it's just interesting. It's just neat to hear what we need to be doing and just stay on track. Because if you don't, you'll get down. If you get bogged down with this world. So let's pray. And I said I'd be done early and we get out of here. So Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. And Lord, just help us, number one, to realize how important lost souls are. Help us to not give up on things going on in our life and the things around us, but help us always to continue to push, to do what we can to serve you, Lord, to suffer while we're serving you, and to just continue to look forward to where we will be in heaven with you for eternity. And Lord, I just pray that we bring as many people as we can to Christ so they'll be there with us. We pray for that today. We pray for our guests coming today, Lord. We pray for people in our main service if they don't know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that they would accept Christ as their Savior today, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us not to get down, but to keep serving you and putting our focus on you and being the person that we need to be for you. And we just ask your blessing in it. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
You're talking about smart dogs.